Welcome to the Electric Power Research Institute Cybersecurity Podcast. This is a new podcast that we're starting to really explore interesting topics, trends, technologies, and everything OT cybersecurity related. So I'm Jeremy Lawrence from the Electric Power Research Institute, or EPRI. And today's topic is EPRI's 2030 Security Vision. So with me today, we have a great group of panelists. So we have Jason Holleran, who heads up the generation, non-nuclear, and hydro renewables cybersecurity research at EPRI. We also have Michael Pfau, who heads up the nuclear cybersecurity research here at EPRI. And last but not least, we have Galen Rasha, who heads up the Transmission, Distribution, and Energy Utilization Group Cybersecurity Research here at EPRI. So welcome, everybody. Good to have you on.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy. Glad to be here.
Great to be here.
Yeah, so why don't we start out here and just talk a little bit about what is the 2030 security vision and really why is EPRI leading this research?
When you look at industry trends and decarbonization, digital transformation and resiliency, I think it's clear that we're nearing an inflection point in how the grid operates and how it must be secured as well. So the 2030 Cybersecurity Vision Roadmap will create a new path for our industry to enable this future energy system and to allow us to implement what we're calling an intrinsically secure grid. And so what do we mean by intrinsic security? This is really a state where security is fully integrated into the mission, processes, technology, and culture of the utility. It's considered a critical business function by all of the business units. It also becomes a component of the engineering design process and is really ingrained in the company culture. And additionally, the 2030 vision and roadmap will focus on something that's often not directly addressed, and that's the value of cybersecurity. So a big question we want to look at is how do we increase the value of security while optimizing cost? Right now, security costs are increasing. It's really an unsustainable trajectory for our industry. But at the same time, we're not just focused on cutting costs, but again, really increasing the value of security. So we can do this through a strong focus on enabling security interoperability and automation. But it's also really important to look at how security can act as a business partner and add value to the business units. And so our goal in leading this effort is to publish a roadmap that articulates the direction for change and really energizes the sector around a single vision and plan. And so this roadmap will identify what are the objectives for intrinsic security in those industry drivers that I mentioned earlier. What are the objectives for decarbonization, digital transformation, and resiliency? And we're going to do this through a two-step process. So first, our 2030 security vision will identify the cybersecurity future states for the industry. So where do we want to be in 10 years? Where do we need to be in 10 years to enable this future energy system? And then we're going to identify the security capabilities that are needed to reach that each future state. So in other words, the vision really describes what are we trying to achieve over the next 10 years as an industry. And then finally, the second part is the actual is developing an actual roadmap itself. And so the roadmap, takes those future states and breaks this process down into more manageable pieces, action plans, timelines, success metrics, identifying which stakeholders are needed to support each action plan, et cetera. So, the roadmap will describe the process of how we're going to reach the future states.
Yeah, interesting. Thanks, Galen. So I know one of the things that I always think about from energy sector cybersecurity is how everything fits together and what some of those different drivers are specific to the different, generation technologies and transmission and distribution drivers. I know nuclear has some very specific drivers, whether it be regulatory and some of the safety considerations. Mike, could you talk a little bit about what those drivers are in the nuclear industry that you're seeing today and how those fit into the 2030 security vision?
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. So, you know, the nuclear industry has been looking at cybersecurity collectively for easily the past 10 years and made a significant amount of inroads during that time frame. But we also recognize, right, that just because we've gotten to the level of cybersecurity through the cybersecurity plans that have been implemented and inspected, that, you know, we're still not done. You know, there still needs to be continuous improvement. There needs to be, we need to be forward looking, like Galen had said, and looking at what's going to happen. Where do we need to be 10 years from now? And we also recognize that, you know, the environment is different today than it was 10 years ago. You speak from a decarbonization perspective. The need for clean energy and stuff is a very important part of the energy mix. That's not going away. We feel like nuclear is a very viable and sustainable solution for that. It's a key part of that of that initiative. Internationally, there's been a tremendous amount of expansion of nuclear power. And so we have to recognize as part of our EPRI membership that we need to have viable technical solutions to help them implement not only the right thing to do, but to implement these technologies from a cybersecurity perspective and do them in a way that helps them be risk-informed and implement it right the first time. We've talked about different things like secure, doing things secure by design. All of these things are an integral part of casting a good vision for making sure that these things are in place, not only now, but in the future. We also have new nuclear technologies that are coming on the landscape as well, with small modular reactors and different types of reactor types that are coming along. These are all things that we need to make sure that we're doing the right things from an engineering perspective and from a cybersecurity perspective to analyze these hazards that we have, not just cybersecurity, but all these digital hazards effectively for the next 10 years. Because, you know, we talk about this digital transformation. A lot of people talk about it that way. You know, the reality of it is there's an awful lot that's going into these nuclear power plants where they don't run for 30 years. Once you put it in, you need to keep modernizing those things. And how do you do that efficiently and effectively? And we need to understand how to do that. And I think that's a key part of this understanding the life cycle. And we'll probably talk about the supply chain later and the challenges that that faces. But all of these are, I think, important drivers that we need to keep in mind as we look forward to 2030.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Yeah, it's really interesting. One of the things that you mentioned was, you know, this need for a clean, carbon-free energy generation portfolio. And I know on the fossil, hydro, and renewable side, that's something that's really, really driven the industry. Jason, could you talk a little bit about what you've seen from a fossil hydro side as well as from a utility scale renewable side and how some of that factors into the 2030 security vision?
Yeah, Jeremy, that's a great question. And that really is at the heart of what we're really trying to get here. The generation mix is changing. We see a big drive towards decarbonization. And the reason for that has actually a number of different reasons, but many of the utilities around the world have set decarbonization goals to be, you know, carbon neutral by a certain date or to reduce carbon emissions by another date. It just depends on what the utility's goal is. So that's driving a number of different changes within the generation portfolio and what that really looks like. We have the increase of nuclear technologies, as Mike has said, but we also have the increase of renewable technologies like wind and solar. And with these come certain challenges. These technologies really need to become more resilient. as we go forward. We saw here in the United States and Texas a few weeks ago a big polar vortex or a big winter storm that really had an impact on the electric grid. And along with those fossil plants that were impacted, the renewable assets were also impacted. So when we look towards replacing certain types of generation and capacity, mainly coal plants as they come offline or they decommission, and that capacity is taken up by new renewable plants, we need to really make sure that those plants are resilient. It's going to take a lot of new technologies to do that. New control technologies, new communication technologies, technologies to make those plants more dispatchable, whether that's some sort of a battery storage or other type of energy storage that's co-located, so that we can really rely on those assets when we need them. In addition, we'll be looking at new alternative fuel carriers like hydrogen and ammonia. We'll need to be relying on additional entities and companies so that when those interdependencies, because typically the electric utilities themselves don't own those pipelines, they don't own those compressor stations, they don't own that infrastructure, and we'll need to rely on that infrastructure to help provide that gas or that fuel in order to make electricity. So we'll need to rely on those other suppliers and vendors, utilities, to make sure that they're secure. And when we need that, that it's available and it doesn't become another way to exploit vulnerabilities or conduct a cyber attack. In addition to that, our vendors are always coming up with new technologies. It's keeping us efficient on the cutting edge. We need them in order to make sure that our fleet is efficient and we have cost-effective power generation and that the fleet remains competitive. But when they develop these technologies and they put them into new DCSs or control systems, we need to understand how they're secured, understand what the vulnerabilities may be, understand what controls we can put in place to mitigate those vulnerabilities. And as Mike and Galen have already talked about, make sure that those are inherently secure or secure by design. And finally, we're looking more towards newer technologies. The transmission and distribution space has already looked at the cloud, and that's becoming more and more prevalent of moving a lot of those services towards the cloud. Generation is moving that way. We're not as advanced as transmission and delivery systems with respect to cloud technologies, but it's going to come. We need to make sure that we're working with cloud providers, technology providers, and our IT departments within the utilities to make sure that we implement the cloud in a secure manner. These are really all ways that, can help us to really get the goals of decarbonization accomplished, implement new technologies, and get us along our way to having a cleaner environment and taking on some of these larger issues head on.
Yeah, interesting, Jason. And so on that point, you mentioned all these different technology changes and some of the things that we're seeing. I think it's important maybe to point out that a lot of times, industrial control systems engineers and cybersecurity professionals really think that they're isolated from some of those changes. And one of the things that I've seen, and I know we've seen as an institute over the last several years, is certain use cases start to come to light and ultimately can force different issues, whether it be what products are being provided by the vendors, the technology providers, or just the overall operational use cases. So I think it's really important to mention. So thank you. So kind of to that point, I know we've been doing a lot of research in the cybersecurity area for the last 5 or 10 years. And Galen is kind of the elder statesman here leading up cybersecurity for a long time at EPRI. I know you've seen a lot of different efforts. Has there been any kind of strategic road mapping in the past, collaborating either internally with EPRI or with outside organizations?
Well, the last really comprehensive industry roadmap was the roadmap to achieve energy delivery systems cybersecurity, which is a great document that drove a lot of the investments and priorities for the last decade. Really, it was published in 2011 and provided a roadmap and a vision statement going through 2020. And we referenced some of their, some of the research objectives from that in our R&D roadmaps as well. In addition to that, there have been some more, I think, niche roadmaps and maybe looked at specific grid applications or grid technology areas over the last few years as well. However, I think that now is really the time for us to come together and create a new action plan for the next decade. And there's a lot of reasons for that, as we've been discussing today. I mean, the drivers, challenges, and technology have all changed a lot since the last roadmap was published. So the grid already looks very different today than it did 10 years ago. But if you take a step back and look at all these trends we've been discussing and look 10, 20, 30 years into the future, it's going to be a very, very different grid. I think for a lot of people that don't work in our industry or work in our space, may not appreciate the level of change that is already happening, as well as what's going to be taking place. And that's really because there's just a lot of policy drivers, strategic initiatives, et cetera, that are pushing us in that direction. So, for example, the decarbonization and electrification trends are going to have a huge impact on the way electricity is created, used, and stored. And when you talk about decarbonization technologies, especially on the grid edge side, that is things like electric vehicles, the charging infrastructure, their solar energy storage at the distribution level or at the home level, demand response systems, et cetera. We expect to see a significant rise in those technologies. But also within utilities, there's a lot of digital transformations and digital transformation initiatives and strategies that are happening right now. In fact, several utilities over the last few years have actually created an executive position for that. They have a chief digital officer to help support those strategies. But making those changes is going to impact the people, processes, and technology in many aspects of how utilities operate, including on the OT side. There's just a lot of drivers, supporting that. For example, we have much more pervasive sensing and monitoring. So there's more sensors in the field that are feeding data to the utility. And so all that data then enables more advanced analytics and the use of AI by utilities to take advantage of having that data. Also, as Jason mentioned earlier, there are more cloud services for OT and for IIoT systems as well. And we're already seeing some of that, especially on the grid edge space, when you look at different DER, or distributed energy resource systems, and the companies that run some of those systems. So you're already seeing the deployment and leveraging of cloud services for those. But also, there's just more digital technology in the OT space, and a lot more coming as well. So that could be things such as more digital substations, the use of virtualization, containers, even in field devices and gateways, for example. More use of software-defined networking and infrastructure as code. We see that coming down the pike as well. You know, so again, it's just a lot of change happening to utilities, and we need to really think about from a security perspective there and look at how we can enable those changes. Also, you know, climate change is certainly impacting how the grid needs to be designed and operated, as well as advanced security threats. We see both of those really need to drive the design and architecture of the grid to meet these new resiliency requirements. And we think that, you know, EPRI can really, you know, lead the industry to develop the right vision and roadmap, you know, to support this. So EPRI can leverage its unique position as a collaborative, independent, and technology agnostic research institute to drive this vision and roadmap forward. As far as this process, we are going to facilitate engagement from all of the electricity subsector stakeholders. Everybody has a part and role to play in securing this future grid. And really successful development of the vision roadmap will require participation from all of those industry stakeholders. So that includes utilities, vendors, regulators, standards development organizations, federal and state agencies, integrators, industry associations, you know, et cetera. So it's quite a group. But again, when you look at the role that these different stakeholders will play in the future grid, it's critically important that we get everybody's input on this and that everybody understands their role to play in reducing the cybersecurity risk on the grid. And again, really enabling a stronger, more resilient grid in the future.
Yeah. Thanks, Galen. That's really interesting. So one of the things, you know, as you were saying that, it made me think about the different roles. And certainly I know in our space, at least in the energy industry, we think of typically utility members representing the end user. But I think it really is important. It brings up a good point about the potential role for the vendors in both developing and then also bringing these different technologies to the field. Mike, could you talk a little bit? I know you've worked in this space. Could you talk a little bit about how you see the role of vendors as well as integrators in cybersecurity in the electric sector?
Well, sure. Thanks, Jeremy. So, you know, I think it's important that, like you had mentioned, that, you know, not only, you know, do we look at it from a, you know, a utilities perspective, but also who are the people that help those utilities be successful? And, you know, the reality of it is the integrators, the vendors, you know, really are an integral part of the overall utility team in driving out the execution of that vision. You know, and as we talk about a vision for cybersecurity in 2030, you know, they absolutely are a critical piece of that. And it's, you know, Galen mentioned earlier about some of the drivers and challenges that we've had. You know, the use cases of data, if you want to look at it that way, are changing. You know, the traditional architecture where everything on the control side was very flat and most of the data was being used internally to make those operational decisions and stuff, you know, that is absolutely changing. We already see it changing on the transmission, on the power delivery side, where those architectures are now moving more cloud-based, where you actually even have control determinations being made in a centralized location and driving some of those signals in different places. That's a very different architecture, right, than what we're traditionally used to. And, you know, the vendors and are a critical piece of that. And so, you know, this really gets back to workforce development in a lot of ways, where we have to make sure that our, you know, I think we've said this a few times in different times as we're talking with our members, maybe not today, but I'll share it again. We, as a utility member who's responsible for that system, has to know our systems better than our adversaries. And so part of this 2030 vision, I think, is going to be understanding, you know, a key piece of that is knowledge transfer and giving them successful tools to help them really understand what are the not only the vulnerabilities, but what is the appropriate risk, right? Understanding, okay, I'm vulnerable to this, but you know, what's the actual impact to my organization from either a generation perspective, a safety perspective, a business risk perspective? Really understanding that, understanding those types of things give you the tools that as a business you need to make those good decisions for the types of mitigations that you need to put in place that are efficient and help us run our the utilities effectively. So I think, you know, it's important from a supply chain, the vendors and OEMs, they're really partners in this with us, helping us make sure that at a utilities perspective, we articulate clearly to our vendors and our OEMs what we really need, what the critical characteristics, if you want to think of it that way, what are the things that we need in their systems that they're providing to us, you know, to be successful, what types of security controls are really needed for these types of systems to be successful, all of these types of things. And then not only that, you know, we also have to think about how do we not only implement them, right, which is where we've put an awful lot of thought in making sure we install them successfully, but what about maintaining them? And that's a key piece of this. You know, OT systems are usually operational for a while. How are we going to maintain these for the duration of their life cycle? And how are we going to patch them? How are we going to maintain them over and retire them from an obsolescence perspective? We really need to have a holistic view and understand the overall cybersecurity piece of that.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. That's really interesting. And so one of the things I wanted to circle back to along those lines. So Galen, you mentioned earlier the shift to more distributed energy resources and the integrated grid. Could you talk a little bit about what that means? What is the integrated grid and how mm-hmm. some of those changes might impact cybersecurity and some of the things that Mike had just mentioned from a more strategic point of view?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the integrated grid really is changing, you know, how the grid operates, and of course, that's going to have a big impact on cybersecurity. So, in this new grid model, there will be a lot more third parties. They're providing technology and services to the grid, such as DER aggregators and retail energy managers. We expect to have much more pervasive communications. You know, they're going to be required to give us visibility into grid edge devices, customer owned loads, et cetera. Also, these, you know, new grid applications will need to be able to talk to each other on demand, and we'll have like real time and near real time requirements for being able to transfer the data as well. Additionally, there's going to be a lot more grid-connected devices that have autonomous capabilities, as well as localized intelligence that's supported by central data management. And then the move toward electrification will also create new interdependencies between critical infrastructure sectors. For example, you know, large-scale use of electric vehicles will significantly increase the dependencies between the transportation sector and the electric sector. And this will make the resilience of the grid, you know, even more vital to supporting our nation's economy and really our way of life as well. And so some of the security impacts of these changes are things like large increase, really an exponential increase of potential attack vectors and change in the attack surface of the grid. With the new communications you know, being deployed, there's just a lot more ways for hackers to be able to touch the grid and try to impact the operation of the grid. With all these grid-connected devices, you know, now we have new potentially hackable technologies distributed across the grid there. And then, you know, finally, when it comes to like you call it multi-party involvement of these other third parties like aggregators, just as an example, see different types of requirements, security requirements and drivers, you know, across these third parties. When you're comparing, you know, utilities, you know, to aggregators or to other third party grid services companies as well. And so really as an industry, I think to be able to adapt to that, you know, we're going to have to be more strategic in how we're addressing cybersecurity. I mean, it seems like in the last few years, and especially in the last year or two, it just feels like we've become very reactive as an industry. And we were just changing our focus every few months, either due to a new vulnerability, a new executive order, or new regulation, new et cetera there. But I think to prepare for this new grid, you know, we need to build a new vision around these industry drivers of decarbonization, digital transformation, resiliency, and value transformation, so that we can continue to mature cybersecurity in the electricity subsector and really create an intrinsically secure grid. And so I think the 2030 security vision roadmap will provide us with a plan to do just that.
Yeah, thank you, Galen. So I've learned a lot about this, the 2030, EPRI's 2030 security vision, really looking forward to seeing it as we develop it over the next coming months. Jason, are there any opportunities for people to participate and collaborate with us as we work through the 2030 security vision?
Yeah, absolutely, Jeremy. This is one thing we really are looking forward to, is having that direct interaction and collaboration with utility members, EPRI members, vendors, anybody that wants to work with us to really help and do one of three things or all three of these things. Look at grid modernization and identify the macro trends that are out there. Help to draft our drivers, impacts, and the objectives that we see will really become really important as we move forward through this whole process. And identify the final cybersecurity future states that are going to exist, where we need to be, and then how do we get there? So we'll look at those going forward. But the ways that people can really start collaborating with us, participating with us in this process, is a few different ways. Number one, there's a white paper that's already available. It's called Preparing for the 2030 Energy System: Why We Need a New Cybersecurity Vision, and that can be downloaded at EPRI.com. So I encourage everyone to go out and take a look at that. But we just launched our 2030 Security Vision Working Group and Roadmap Working Group that will bring together four different working group areas that that can really help to bring about this security vision and the roadmap. What we'll actually do is we're going to publish our security vision, and that will come out in about the July timeframe of this year. And then we'll continue working with those working group members on the roadmap, and the roadmap should be out by the end of the year. There's four different working group work streams associated with this. One is on decarbonization that myself and Xavier Francia are heading up. And we're going to be looking at from a transmission and delivery standpoint and a power generation standpoint, really with DER interoperability and decarbonization for new nuclear, low carbon generation, and carbon capture and sequestration, what those goals and challenges are. Then there's another one that Christine Herzog and Ben Suter are heading up, And that one is on digital transformation. We've talked a lot about digital transformation today, and folks can have an opportunity to join them to understand what the drivers, the industry drivers for digital transformation are, and the impacts and ramifications to those on cybersecurity. John Stewart is leading a working group on resilience and really looking at, you know, how to prepare for an event, how to adapt when an event happens, and then what you do to recover from that event. So looking at that from a reliability standpoint and a resilience standpoint, understanding those differences are what he's going to be heading up in his working group. And then finally, Ralph King is going to head up a working group on the value transformation. So Galen talked about how do we drive cybersecurity to be intrinsic? You know, how do we make it an enabler? You know, and help us to bring about more efficient operations within the electric sector, really make it ingrained into utilities culture and companies culture. So some of those things that he'll look in there are the challenges and impediments, barriers to getting that accomplished, and what we can do to get around those. So please reach out to myself, Galen, or Mike Thau. If anybody here or anybody listening would like to get involved with the working groups to help flush out the roadmap, we'd really appreciate it. It's going to be some really good work, really valuable work, and it should set us up for future success, not only in the electric sector, but well beyond the electric sector as well, and all of the interdependencies that come with it.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. And really thanks to everybody, all of our panelists, Jason, Mike, and Galen, for talking through some of the things that we've seen at EPRI with respect to OT cybersecurity, the different challenges, drivers. There's a lot of changes and things that are impacting the energy sector as a whole, as well as these different changes and drivers that impact cybersecurity, both from a technology perspective, from a roles and responsibilities perspective, and even from a regulatory perspective of what as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing more information about the 2030 cyber vision and cybersecurity vision. And with that, that concludes our first Electric Power Research Institute cybersecurity podcast. Looking forward to bringing future podcasts on everything operational technologies, topics, trends, and everything ICS. So thanks, everybody. And that concludes our podcast.